بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Surah An-Naba concluded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing one side of the audience, which is الطاغين للطاغين مآبا, those that rebel against Allah Azza wa Jal's command. And he speaks to us and elaborates about what their punishment will be. He says, إِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ كَانَتْ مِرْصَادًا لِلطَّاغِينَ مَآبًا لَابِثِينَ فِيهَا أَحْقَابًا. So on. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings our attention to the second audience, to the second group that there could possibly be on the Day of Judgment. So there's طاغين, there's those that rebelled, their ending is in hellfire. And there's the other group, which is إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ مَفَازًا, those that have taqwa within them. And we said that the word muttaqin comes from wiqaya, which means to protect. So it just doesn't only mean those that fear Allah will have success. Al-muttaqin means those that fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as a result of their fear, they protect themselves from the hellfire and from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's by performing the good actions. And we said this word comes beautifully in the context of the surah, because at the beginning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions the Day of Judgment, He describes it using the word An-Naba. And we said An-Naba is different to Khabar, meaning that An-Naba is a type of news, of a great news that demands action from you. So in other words, you hear there's a fire in the building, you have to move out of the building, do something. So, when you hear the warnings that have come now about this day, at the end it's supposed to do something with you, so much so that now you're moved to action. Your fear is translated now to action. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises those people, and that's why the word al-muttaqin is used, as opposed to saying inna lil-mu'mineena mafaza or muslimin and so on. And then Allah says that for them He promises mafaza. We said mafaza, it is a place and time of success. And by it being a time of success, means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us to be patient. Be patient, work for this paradise in this world, and the time of success is coming. Time where you enter Jannah is coming. And it is also a place of success. How does Allah describe this place? The verses continue, He says, حَدَائِقَ وَأَعْنَابَ. Hadaiq, and we said this is the plural of a hadiqa, which is a park. And really, when you think of a park, you think of something public that's shared with the community. However, these hadaiq, this is something special. They're gardens that are closed off with tall fences, and they're private. And not one park, not one garden, many gardens Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the inhabitants of the paradise. He says, حَدَائِقَ وَأَعْنَابَ. Once you've felt this comfort and you've walked into your kingdom, now you want to taste something from your kingdom. After you've had the pleasurous sense, you want to have a pleasurous taste. So Allah says, وَأَعْنَابَ. And why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention the grape, this fruit, as opposed to all the other fruits? We said that أَعْنَابَ, the grape, it's a food and a drink at the same time. It's two in one. So the grape, you'll find that almost 70 or 80% of it is all already water. So the idea of food and drink, the idea of two in one is given. This is an extra bonus from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now you've felt this pleasurous sense of being in your hadaiq, of being in your private gardens, and now you've tasted from it, and you've seen your kingdom. Now you feel the urge of sharing this kingdom with someone, you know, just like in this world. If you were to work and work and work, and you've saved up so much money, and you've bought a house, and you've bought a car, you find the urge of getting married. You find the need of getting married to share this with someone. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَوَاعِبَ أَتْرَابًا. And we said kawa'ib is the plural of ka'ib, which is a young, gorgeous looking woman. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He allows you to share your kingdom with basically al-hur al-ayn. And what adds to the enjoyment is that they're atraba, they're of comparable ages. Not older than you, not younger than you. This is comparable, equal, perfect age. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَأْسًا دِهَاقًا. Now obviously after you're sitting with your wife in paradise with al-hur al-ayn, and you know, when you enter Jannah, you're not like, oh man, we're starving, what are we going to eat? We've been already 50,000 years standing outside in the punishment. No, once you enter Jannah, there is no such thing as hunger, and there's the urge of going to the toilet to relieve yourself and so on. No, it's all enjoyment upon enjoyment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further depicts the enjoyment of the people of paradise. He says, now when they're with their hur al-ayn, they have ka'san dihaqa, which is literally a glass full of wine, full to the brim. That's ka'san. And dihaqa means sparkling, you know, splashing colors, exotic drinks to have. So this just adds to the enjoyment. Because when you go out with your friend, you know, let's go have a drink, you're not really hungry. You just want to go enjoy or probably have some time to hang out. So this is the idea that's given here. And now, you know, in this world, if you drink wine, what happens? You become intoxicated. You lose your mind. You speak useless comments, senseless comments, foul language, you lie. But Allah says, لَا يَسْمَعُونَ فِيهَا لَغْوًا وَلَا كِذَّبًا. Giving us the idea that this wine you drink, it doesn't result in you uttering laghu. You won't be speaking senseless comments. You won't lose the plot. You won't become drunk. And at the same time, you won't lie. So you will not hear this from anyone, and it will not come out from you. لَا يَسْمَعُونَ فِيهَا لَغْوًا وَلَا كِذَّبًا. This is in the context of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala depicts to us, or depicts for us, the enjoyment of the people of paradise. Now in the context of the whole surah, why are these two things mentioned specifically? Laghu and kithaba. You know, we learn at the beginning of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He speaks about the disbelievers, He tells us that they are engaged in laghu. Right? They're speaking in regards to the hereafter and all these senseless comments. You know, الَّذِهُمْ فِيهِ مُخْتَلِفُونَ. How is this going to happen? I don't believe it will happen. Even if it happens, then we'll all end up in Jannah. Or if we get there, then the angels will intercede for us and we'll go in. So they have all this laghu that's happening. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, be patient, O believers. Don't worry. Bear patient with these comments. They're going to keep coming your way. But in the paradise, there's none of this nonsense. You won't hear this laghu. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ali Imran, وَلَتَسْمَعُنَّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا أَذًا كَثِيرًا. Certainly, indeed, you will hear from those that have disbelieved and from the people of the book, you'll hear a lot of nonsense. أَذًا كَثِيرًا, a lot of painful speech. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, bear in patience. That's the only way you could get out of it. But on the day of judgment, Allah gives us a reward that we're not tortured with hearing anything like this. This is laghu. And at the same time, they do not hear any kithaba. You know, we hear kithaba in the media about Islam, about Muslims, about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these are really painful things to hear. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the paradise, you won't be tortured with these things. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, جَزَاءً مِّن رَبِّكَ. This is a reward from your Lord. But for the kuffar, a few verses before, Allah says, جَزَاءً وِفَاقًا. And we said wifaqa means exact. What Allah gave the disbelievers was equal, exact amount of punishment for what they deserve. Nothing more, nothing less. But when it comes to the believer's side, Allah says, جَزَاءً مِّن رَبِّكَ. He doesn't say wifaqa. In other words, what we're learning is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives al-muttaqeen, the people of the paradise, He gives them more than they deserve. And this is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon them. And he says, Min Rabbik. And this Min Rabbik, when you hear the word Rabb, it gives a sense of mercy anyway. Because Rabb means the master, the one that takes care of you, the one that nourishes you, the one that gives you sustenance. This is Ar-Rabb. Naam, Ar-Rabb Al-Malik Al-Sayyid Al-Murabbi. It gives the sense of mercy. So Allah uses this word. He doesn't say Jaza'an min Allah. He says Jaza'an min Rabbika. Ar-Rabb, when this word is used, it depicts more mercy than the name Allah. So Allah is saying this reward that He's giving is because He is Ar-Rabb. He takes care of you. So He'll give you. And He'll give you. How much will He give you? So much so that also another meaning of mercy is depicted by saying Jaza'an min Rabbika, from your Lord, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it brings him even more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What I'm giving you is something coming special from me. Min Rabbika. He says, Ata'an. What does he give? He gives a gift, a grant. Something that perhaps we don't even deserve. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ata'an. Just like, Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. We've given you, we've granted you, we've gifted you. So Allah gifts the believers. And how much? You want to know how much? It's captured at the end of the word. At the end of this ayah. Allah says, Hisaba. And we said, Hisaba, the Arabs would say, Ahsabani, Ahsabtu fulanan, Ahsabtu fulanan. Means I've given him so much and kept giving him and giving him until it reached the point where he said, enough, I can't have any more. This is how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the believers. And there is just a very nice meaning that I came across last night for the word hisaba, which I'd like to share with you. And it says, أَنَّهُ عَطَاءٌ كَافٍ. It's a sufficient grant and a gift that Allah gives. يَكْتَفِي بِهِ صَاحِبُهُ. That you're sufficed with this. This is enough for you. وَلَا يَطْلُبُ مَا عِنْدَ غَيْرِهِ. And this hisab that Allah gives you, so much so that if you were to see your neighbor in Jannah, he has something, you don't even wish for it. You don't even wish for what he has. He says, فَلَا غِلَّ بَيْنَهُمْ. There is no jealousy in between them or amongst them. You know, for example, you see your friend, he's got this car and you have this old car or something like this. Something gets into the heart. Allah says, no, He gives them hisaba. And this hisaba, all these meanings are included. فَلَا غِلَّ بَيْنَهُمْ. There is no jealousy amongst one another in what Allah has given everyone. بَلْ كُلُّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَقُولُ حَسْبِي. Every single one of them would say, enough, what I have is plenty. I can't have any more. Now, this is where we stopped, we'll continue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, رَبِّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا. Now to connect them all, because we said that the Qur'an is all a flowing discourse. So Allah says, رَبِّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا. Now you notice the word Rabbi, there's a kasra at the end of the ba'. And before this verse we read, جَزَاءً مِّن رَبِّي, مِّن رَبِّكَ. So the ba' also had a kasra. So when Allah says, رَبِّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا, this part of the verse is an adjective. It's describing that same Rabb that gave and gave. So what's being said in the verse is that same Lord that gave the believers so much, He is also the same Lord of the heavens and the earth and everything in between them. Because if you came to doubt and said, man, who owns so much kingdom that he can give people to the extent that they'll say enough? So Allah describes himself as if he owns the heavens and the earth and everything in between. Don't worry, if he owns all this, then obviously he could give each and every single person until they're satisfied, until they say, no more, I've had enough of goodness. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, رَبِّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا الرَّحْمَانِ. Again, الرَّحْمَانِ, there's a kasra. So this kasra will always also indicate that it's an adjective. So who is this Lord that gives so much so? He is the Lord of the heavens and the earth and whatever is in between them. And He is also described as being Ar-Rahmani, meaning the exceedingly merciful. Now, a couple of things to point out on this word Ar-Rahmani in the context. And there's the difference between Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Now, you find that there's in Surah Al-Fatiha, for example, Allah says Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. What's the difference between Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim if both mean the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Well, Ar-Rahman with Alif Noon at the end, it depicts three things. The first is that there's the mercy of Allah is in excess. It's abundant, it's profuse, it's enormous. The second meaning it depicts is that it's immediate. As we're speaking right now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is being executed. And it also has the meaning of something being temporary. Now, you'll only appreciate what I said if you understand an example. And I think I've shared this before here, but I'll just repeat it. If you're thirsty, what do you refer to yourself as in Arabic? What would you say? Ana what? Ana achan. You'll say, Ana achan, I'm thirsty. Now, notice, you said achan, alif noon at the end. Similarly, if you're hungry, you'll say, Ana jaw'an, alif noon at the end. And if you're sleepy, you'll say, Ana na'san, alif noon at the end, and so on. Now, when you say, Ana achan, I'm thirsty, now you only say this if you're extremely, extremely thirsty. So Ar-Rahman, it also ends with Alif Noon. It means Allah's mercy is extreme. It's in excess. Now the second thing, when you say Ana Achan, you only say it when you're right now Achan. You won't drink a cup of water and say Ana Achan. When you're thirsty, you'll say it. So it's immediate. It comes out of your mouth immediately when you're thirsty. So Ar-Rahman, ending with Alif Noon, also means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is immediate. It's happening right now as we speak. Every mercy you see that's between the creation is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Between you and your wife. Between you and your children. Between you and your boss or you and your worker. Between you and an animal. Between animals, every mercy that's happening is from this one mercy Allah placed in this earth. We know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the mercy 100. And He placed one in this earth. And every single mercy that's shared across creation, that is from the one mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's under the name Ar-Rahman. And also we said it depicts the meaning of something being temporary. You know, when you're achan, what do you have to do in order not to be achan? You drink water. And once you've drank water, now you're not achan anymore. Similarly, when you disobey Allah, the name Ar-Rahman is away from you. He's not Rahman on you anymore. Once you repent and you come back onto the straight path, then His rahmah is back down on you. Same thing, you drink water, you're not achan anymore. Up until you become achan again, you'll say this word again. So this is the concept of Ar-Rahman. It's different to Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahim ends with Ya-Mim. The nouns that end with Ya-Mim in the Arabic language, they mean something. It is an adjective, it's a describing word. But it doesn't mean it's happening right now. So for example, I say this brother here is Kareem. Notice, yeah, meme at the end. Kareem means what? Generous. He could be generous, that's a quality of him. But he's not being generous right now. He's just sitting and paying attention. There's no generosity, you don't see it right now. You know, someone is described as Halim. You know, he's patient. He's sitting right now. How do I know his patience? I haven't tested it yet. But that's a quality of his. It will only become apparent when he is in a situation that requires patience. So now by saying Ar-Rahim, it means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's 99 mercy. It's depicting Allah's 99 mercy. Now we know Allah is Ar-Rahim, but this special type of Rahim, we're not seeing it right now. We don't see it now. When do we see it? On the Day of Judgment. And it is only especially for the believers. وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. That is only special for the believers on the Day of Judgment. So Ar-Rahman gives the meaning of the one mercy Allah placed in this earth. That's for everyone to share. The kafir, he drinks water, that's because Allah is Rahman on him. But the 99 that Allah has stored for the Day of Judgment, that goes under the name Ar-Rahim. And that's special for the believers only. So now going back to the context of the verse, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describe himself Ar-Rahman in this verse? And you know the verses before about the punishment, they're really severe. So if it's anything, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has 99 names. A tougher name should have been used. You know, so what's the wisdom behind saying Ar-Rahman? Well, just as I told you at the beginning of this series, at the beginning of these lectures, sometimes you have to put your position, your feet in the disbeliever's shoes. You have to think from the other side. So now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Ar-Rahman. He describes himself Ar-Rahman. Because from a disbeliever's side, the mushrikun that are listening to these verses, and now they've heard a severe warning and a strong warning in the surah. You know, إِنَّ يَوْمَ الْفَصْلِ كَانَ مِيقَاتَ يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ إِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ كَانَتْ مِرْصَادَ لِلطَّاغِينَ مَآبَ لَابِثِينَ فِيهَا أَحْقَابَ لَا يَذُوقُونَ فِيهَا بَرْدًا وَلَا شَرَابَ. This is intense. This is severe. So the kafir might lose hope and say, oh, probably this is what, that's what I'm returning to. So in order not for him to lose hope, Allah uses his name Ar-Rahman here. That don't worry, you could still earn this إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ مَفَازَ. You could earn this حَدَائِقَ وَأَعْنَابَ وَكَوَاعِبَ أَتْرَابَ. It's not late, you're still here. So Allah uses the name Ar-Rahman to shed some hope and some light from the disbeliever's side. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes this verse. He says, لَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِنْهُ خِطَابًا. On that day, they will have no authority, no ability, no power whatsoever to address Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to speak to Allah, to even open a case with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is for the disbelievers. Allah is saying they will come on the Day of Judgment and they will have no ability to even open their mouth and speak a word. لَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِنْهُ خِطَابًا. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الرُّوحُ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ صَفَّ. On that very same day, الروح, which by ijma', almost by unanimous agreement, الروح is referring to Jibreel alayhi salam. Although there are many other sayings, but what's agreed upon, and what's the majority of the view, it's that it's Ar-Rahman is Jibreel alayhi salam. Allah is saying to us, that Jibreel and the angels will be standing in rows before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الرُّوحُ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ صَفَّى. What's their situation? لَا يَتَكَلَّمُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ الرَّحْمَنُ. None shall speak except whom the exceedingly merciful allows. Now to understand the connection between this verse and the one before it. You know, the ending verse was لَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِنْهُ خِطَابًا. Allah is telling us that the disbelievers on the Day of Judgment have no ability whatsoever to even open their mouth and utter a single word. Now you know the disbelievers at the beginning, how الَّذِي هُمْ فِيهِ مُخْتَلِفُونَ. Everyone had his own theory about the Day of Judgment. And one of their theories was that, oh, if there's a Day of Judgment, if we come out of their graves, then you know what? The angels will intercede for us. They'll slip in 2-3 good words for us and we'll be saved and rescued. Now what is Allah saying? Those same angels that you thought could intercede for you, they're not allowed to speak. لا يتكلمون. They will not be able or allowed to speak. إلا من أذن له الرحمن. Except who the exceedingly merciful allows. And if Allah allowed an angel to speak, and we're speaking here, the leader of the angels, Jibreel is here. He can't even help you. He can't even open his mouth, except if Allah gave him permission. And if Allah gave an angel permission to speak, what is he going to speak? وَقَالَ صَوَابًا. He will only speak what's true and upright. But no, notice something. لَا يَتَكَلَّمُونَ لا يملكون يوم يقوم. All these verbs are what? Are present tense. Now, they're مضارع, فعل مضارع. Then he says, وقال صوابا. And قال is فعل ماضي, a past tense. Now I'll give you the understanding between this. When a present tense comes in the Quran, it refers to something that's prolonged. Something consistent, something that's long. That's happening over and over. And when a past tense comes in the Quran, it is talking about something that's short and brief. You know, something that doesn't always happen. I'll give you an example from somewhere else so you can appreciate this. In Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ أَن يَقْتُلَ مُؤْمِنًا إِلَّا خَطَأً وَمَنْ قَتَلَ مُؤْمِنًا خَطَأً وَمَنْ قَتَلَ مُؤْمِنًا خَطَأً. And the verse after, he says, وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا. Now when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about an accidental killing, he used the past noun, the past verb. قَتَلَ مُؤْمِنًا. The past. And when he spoke about intentional killing, he used the present. وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا. You know why? Because if you intentionally kill someone, that means you're going to keep killing. You're always going to keep killing. So he used the present tense, which speaks about something that's happening consistently. But when Allah uses the past tense, it's talking about something that's brief and short. It doesn't, not necessarily that it continues. So he says, وَمَنْ قَتَلَ مُؤْمِنًا خَطَأً. If you accidentally kill someone, and he used the past, now, if you kill someone accidentally, it doesn't mean that you're going to keep killing someone accidentally. It's just by accident, never do it again. You know? So he uses the past verb. So now, back in the context of these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said in the present tense, لا يتكلمون. For a long time they will not be able to speak. لا يملكون منه خطابا. For a long time they won't have ability to speak. يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الرُّوحِ. For a long time, the angels and الرُّوح will be standing in rows. But when he speaks, وَقَالَ صَوَابًا. In other words, when Allah gives the angels permission to speak, by the word قَال, which is a past tense, it refers that the speaking will be brief and short. So much so, that some of the ulama would say, وَقَالَ صَوَابًا means he says, لا إله إلا الله. That's it. That's enough. That's صَوَابًا. وَقَالَ صَوَابًا is لا إله إلا الله. That's how brief and short the angel will speak. So what kind of intercession is he going to do for the disbeliever? That now he's on the theory of, the angels will intercede for me. The angel doesn't even have ability to speak. He's silenced. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذلك اليوم الحق. Indeed, certainly, verily, that is the ultimate truth. That day is the ultimate truth. What does this mean? It means that what we're living in now is not as real as that life. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ankabut, وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ. Certainly, the afterlife, that's the real life. Right there. Right here, you're not in your real life. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Fajr about man, and how he screams out on the Day of Judgment. He says, يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي قَدَّمْتُ لِحَيَاتِي. I wish I had sent some good actions for my life. He doesn't say, يَا لَيْتَنِي قَدَّمْتُ فِي حَيَاتِي. I wish I had sent some good deeds during my life. Then he says, I wish I had sent something good for my life, the real life that's coming ahead. Not during, because what you're living in now is not even considered a life. The real life is there. So Allah says, ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ الْحَقِّ. That's the real life there. Because compare this to this, what is it? لَمْ يَلْبَثُوا إِلَّا عَشِيَّةً أَوْ ضُحَاهَا. It's just like, you know, from when, you know what, this is in Surah Al-Nazi'at, it will come with us inshallah in our future classes. But عَشِيَّةً أَوْ ضُحَاهَا, عَشِيَّةً, you know when the sun starts setting? From the moment it starts moving till the moment it sets, that's عَشِيَّةً. That's what life is compared to the hereafter. So it's really or in nothing. How do you waste it? You know, and then how do you come up with a theory that there is not a day of judgment? For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ الْحَقِّ. Wallahi, my dear brothers, today you close your eyes, you open your eyes to the same thing every day. You know, you see your wife, you close your eyes, you open your eyes, you see your wife, you see your children, you see your work, you see your car. Next day, the same thing. Third day, same thing, and you move on in life and then you always see the same thing. One day is going to come very soon. You close your eyes and the next time you've opened it is in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how do you lose the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you in this world? This is ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ الْحَقِّ. What you're living in is not even real. What's real is to come. That's الْيَوْمُ الْحَقِّ. The true, the ultimate truth. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ شَاءَ اتَّخَذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ مَآبًا. Whosoever wills, then let him take a path that leads him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this word ma'aba came before. And when it came before, it spoke about those that rebelled against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, لِلطَّاغِينَ مَآبًا. When Allah used the word ma'aba before, He mentioned it about Jahannam being ma'aba. Now he's speaking about a different ma'aba. He's speaking about a path you should be taking in this world. فَمَنْ شَاءَ. Whoever wills. And by Allah saying فَمَنْ شَاءَ, it just solidifies the verse in Surah Al-Baqarah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says لَا إِكْرَاهَ فِي الدِّينِ. There's no compulsion in religion. Allah says, فَمَنْ شَاءَ, whoever wills, اتَّخَذَ. And اتَّخَذَ means to hold on firmly, tightly, strongly to a path that leads you to Allah. So if you don't find a path that leads you to Allah in this life, then your final return will be in Jahannam. لِلطَّاغِينَ مَآبَ. That's where مَآبَ came at the beginning. So you better have this مَآبَ in this world, which is to hold strongly onto a rope that takes you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Allah says, فَمَنْ شَاءَ, whoever wills. How about if someone doesn't will? I don't will. Like the kuffar, like those that disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they don't will to take a path. They don't want to hold a path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's their solution? Allah says, إِنَّا أَنذَرْنَاكُمْ عَذَابًا قَرِيبًا. You don't want to take a path? Then we have warned you of a very close day, of a very close punishment. That's for those that don't wish to hold on to a path, to hold on to the correct teachings of Islam, to hold on to good actions, to let go of their bad sins. If you don't will for this, then Allah has said, إِنَّا أَنذَرْنَاكُمْ عَذَابًا قَرِيبًا. Verily it is we who have warned you of a close punishment. Now the verse could have been, أَنذَرْنَاكُمْ عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا, without إِنَّا. So why does إِنَّا come? You know why? Because the Prophet ﷺ, he's the one that's reciting the Qur'an. and giving the warnings. The disbelievers, they don't believe this is Allah's word. They think this is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's word. So Allah comes now and he says, no, it's not him. Inna, it's we. He's just a means. He's a messenger delivering the message. But this punishment, this warning is coming from inna, from we, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he adds the word inna. And that brings closer severity, closer warning in the context of the verses. It is we, not the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have warned you of a close punishment. Allah says, إِنَّهُمْ يَرَوْنَهُ بَعِيدًا. They see it very far. وَنَرَاهُ قَرِيبًا. Allah sees it very close. We see the punishment. We see Day of Judgment very, very close. But they see it really, really far. And when you're indulged in this life, and when you have your life set out, and you're living in full luxury, all you're thinking is, man, what death is going to take this all away from me. What kills your luxury, what kills your pleasure in this life is thinking of the fact that there's death. And that's why part of the enjoyment in the paradise, Allah adds, هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. They'll last therein forever. He adds this forever because it's something in this world that destroys our luxury. The fact that we think that there's an end, it destroys any pleasure you're in. Whatever you're doing, you say, oh, there's death coming, there's death coming, there's death. Whatever your plan in the future is, especially if it's a long-term plan. So part of the enjoyment, how Allah further adds the enjoyment to the paradise, He says, وَهُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Don't worry, there you'll last forever. That's not a problem for you. You can enjoy as much as you want there. إِنَّا أَنذَرْنَاكُمْ عَذَابًا قَرِيبًا. It's a very close warning. يَوْمَ يَنْظُرُ الْمَرْءُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهُ. On that very same day, man, المرء, people, will see that which his hand sent forward. مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهُ. What does this expression mean? What your hand sent forward. You know, most of our actions are done by our hand. Most of our actions. Whether you do good or whether you do bad, it is all recorded. The good is recorded on your right, the bad is recorded on your left. Everything you do in this world, you send it forward. It's recorded and it's pushed forward. It's similar to the concept of sending an email. You know, your friend sends you an email, you press forward, you forward the attachment, you can't retrieve it. It's gone. It's finished. That's it. It's out of your control. That's the same idea here. What you do today, intentionally or unintentionally, is sent forward. It's gone. If you repent from it here, and Allah accepts your repentance, you're not asked about it. You don't repent, you don't bother to repent, you die on that sin, you're going to find it right there. It'll be displayed in front of you. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. You'll see it. Wallahi, my dear brothers, there are some things you have done in your life. You're ashamed of yourself just to sit with the wall and speak these things. How about now watching this in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? يَوْمَ يَنْظُرُ الْمَرْءُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهُ. You'll see everything. Everything you did, intentionally and unintentionally. You know, what's something you do unintentionally? You breathe. Your breath, you take one breath, that's recorded, that's sent forward. It's archived there, يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. When you get there, you'll see it. You sleep at bed, you move left and right unintentionally. That's recorded, it's sent forward. You blink your eye, that's recorded, sent forward. But out of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He only judges you for what you do intentionally. وَوُفِّيَتْ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا عَمِلَتْ. And amal is different to fi'l. Amal is something you do intentionally. Fi'l is something you do intentionally and unintentionally. But Allah says on that day, He'll account everyone مَا عَمِلَتْ, what they did intentionally. وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا not يَعْمَلُونَ يَفْعَلُونَ. He knows what you do intentionally and unintentionally. That's the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَوْمَ يَنْظُرُ الْمَرْءُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ يَنْظُرُ الْمَرْءُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهِ وَيَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا. وَيَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ. Again, this is a present verb. Meaning, what is it indicating? A prolonged time. So the kafir on that day, he will keep saying this over and over. What does he say? Ya laytani. Ya laytani. What does this mean? He'll be sighing and screaming for a very long time. It's ya laytani. It's like he's saying, destruction has befallen upon me. Has fallen upon me. And what does he wish for? He says, Ya laytani kuntu turaba. If only I had been reduced to nothing but dust. Before this day, before the day of resurrection, the kafir is walking around arrogant, thinking there's no hisab. Innahum kanu la yarjuna hisaba. But on that day, he wishes his dust. Who becomes dust on the Yawm al-Qiyamah? The animals. He wishes he could become like an animal. And you know, in culture, I think this is across all cultures, dust is something associated with humiliation. To put dust on someone or to kick dust in someone's face is actually an expression of humiliating someone. Now on the day of judgment, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these arrogant disbelievers, they're wishing they were this humiliated dust. You're in this world now. You can rectify. You can change. You can ittakhadha ila rabbihi ma'aba. You have the time right now. Allah is telling you, if you do not take this ma'aba, you're going to regret later. You're going to say, Ya laytani kuntu turaba. You know, for example, if you have someone you look up to, a mentor or your boss or your father, whatever it is, and you come and show him of a new business plan you have, and because he's your mentor, you take everything from him, he tells you, you know what, this business plan of yours, it doesn't look right. It's better not to do it, otherwise you're going to regret later on. You'll take his advice. But is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your creator, is telling you that what you're working on right now, your business plan in your life, you're going to regret it later on. You're going to say, Ya laytani kuntu turaba. Change it. Ittakhadha ila rabbihi ma'aba. Change your plan. Take a plan, take a pathway that leads you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now, just concluding this surah, and at the beginning I told you that I'll share with you one of the main important things in this series was to share with you the cohesion, the correlation between the surah, how it's all one course, how it is all one unified subject, how it correlates, how it's connected and linked, the beginning and the end. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the beginning, He says, عَمَّ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ. He's speaking about people that are adamant, that are arrogant, in total disregard of the hereafter, running their mouths every day. You know, مُخْتَلِفُونَ, we said it's a nominal sentence, meaning that it's consistent, permanent, always running their mouths. and just talking nonsense about the hereafter. That's the beginning of the surah. At the end, what does Allah say? لَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِنْهُ خِطَابًا. They'll be silenced. Run your mouth now. That's the beginning. The end is telling us that their mouth will be silenced. لَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِنْهُ خِطَابًا. That's one connection. Another connection, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِي هُمْ فِيهِ مُخْتَلِفُونَ. Remember the disbelievers? Everyone has his own theory. They're all in disagreement. Even those that have their own theory, they're not even convinced about what they're saying. That's at the beginning. At the end, what does Allah say? وَقَالَ صَوَابًا. There's no more disagreement. One true upright word will be said. That's it. That's another connection between the beginning and the end of the surah. And one more, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns about the consequences. He warns them about the consequences of their speech. كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ. You'll soon, very soon find out. But they didn't. They didn't want to follow, they didn't want to listen. So as a consequence, as a result, what happens at the end? يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا. That's the very same thing Allah warned them about. Look, better take إِلَى رَبِّكَ مَآبًا. Otherwise, at the end, what are you going to say? يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا. So you see the connection between the beginning of this surah and the end of the surah. We'll begin, inshallah ta'ala, with Surah Al-Nazi'at. This is a really interesting surah. The way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presents the subject of this surah is amazing. Surah Al-Nazi'at, for the very least, we'll say it's a surah Makkiyah. Again, when we say surah is a Makki surah, we mean that it was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before his hijrah. So that means the main audience of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that time, who? It's the Mushrikun Quraysh. The disbelievers, the pagan Arabs. And always you'll find in the surah al-Makkiyah, there are two issues that are highlighted and addressed. The issue of al-Tawheed and issue of al-Ba'th. The issue of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because this Qur'an is relevant to the disbelievers and they deny the oneness of Allah. They don't worship Allah. So Allah addresses in the surah al-Makkiyah His oneness. So He can bring them closer to His oneness. That's something relevant. And another problem and a sickness and a disease they carry is that they reject al-Ba'th, the day of resurrection, the day of judgment. So again, you'll find in the surah al-Makkiyah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the issue of al-Ba'th, of resurrection. Now, so we'll find this manifest, we'll find this at large in this surah, in Surah Al-Nazi'at. Now, before we can move on, how does Surah Al-Naba connect to Surah Al-Nazi'at? Just like we connected Surah Al-Mursalat to Surah Al-Naba, now we want to connect Surah Al-Naba with Al-Nazi'at. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in Surah Al-Naba, إِنَّ يَوْمَ الْفَصْلِ, the day of separation. And He concluded the surah by saying, يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الرُّوحِ, the day the angel, the angels and Jibreel will be standing. ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ, that day. يَوْمَ يَنْظُرُ, that day. It's all about the day, the day, the day. Come to Surah Al-Nazi'at, the sixth verse. يَوْمَ تَرْجُفُ الرَّاجِفَ, the day. يَوْمَ تَرْجُفُ الرَّاجِفَ تَتْبَعُهَا الرَّادِفَ قُلُوبٌ يَوْمَ. Again, the word يَوْم, that day. قُلُوبٌ يَوْمَ إِذٍ وَاجِفَ. So, the concept, the idea of the day is being mentioned again in Surah Al-Nazi'at. Now there will become of some detail about this day. The beginning of this surah, we find that it begins with a series of oaths. وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقًا. You know, that's an oath. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing by something. And this is a whole topic on its own that needs to be studied. And that is al-aqsamu fil Qur'an. The oaths in the Qur'an. And how amazing this is. And inshallah ta'ala, this could probably be the precursor for our next lesson, inshallah. We need to speak about oaths in three senses. How oaths are used in general, in today's speech, how we use it amongst each other. How oaths were used in the old Arabic, in the Arabs' time, even before the Prophet ﷺ. And how oaths are used in the Quran. Then you appreciate it. So generally when we speak, how are oaths used? If you're angry and you want to threaten someone, you'll make an oath, you'll swear. You know? Wallahi, if you don't do this, I'll do, you know? Wallahi, if you don't stop talking, I'll do this to you. When you're angry, when you want to threaten someone, wallahi, stop calling me, otherwise, when you say wallahi, to threaten someone. Again, we use it today, if someone doesn't believe us, as a testimony. I was at the masjid last night. No, you were. Wallahi, I was. He didn't believe you. So you say, wallahi, you're also in the courts as a testimonial. You'll say, wallahi, you need to, before the court, especially in an Islamic court, you know, you have to testify. You'll have to say, wallahi, you have to swear. This is generally, that's how it's used. Now the old Arabic, the old, in the Arabs' time, they used to use the oath. And the main purpose of using an oath was to grab your attention. And they used to use an object in their oath. Meaning they used to take the oath by something. So for example, he'll say, Washams. You know? He'll take an oath by something. And when he says this, he's grabbed your attention. Because he says, Washams. I swear by the sun. What does this guy have to offer? He's probably got something very important to say. So he's already grabbed your attention. Now in the Quran, what's special about the oath is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does take an oath by an object. We know that in our religion, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us that it's shirk to take an oath by an object. Except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're allowed to take the oath by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you're not allowed to take an oath by Allah's creation. You're not allowed to say wal-duha or wal-asr, you know? Or you're not allowed to say wal-shamsi. This is the creation of Allah, He's allowed to do that. So what we find really interesting about the oaths in the Quran is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath in the Quran, He uses an object and then He speaks about al-muqsam alayh, which is what He has to offer, what He wants to say. But amazingly you find that there's a correlation, there's a connection between the object He uses and the subject. Just a very small example, you know, for example, Allah says, وَالتِّينِ وَالزَّيْتُونِ وَطُورِ سِينِينَ وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينِ لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Allah swears, takes an oath by at-teen, the fig, and az-zaytun, olives, waturi sinin, and the mountain of sinin, wa hadha al-balad al-amin, and by the sacred and secure land. And then he says, indeed, certainly, we have created man in best of fashion. What does the teen and fig and the mountain and al-balad al-amin have to do with perfection of creation? You see, because at-teen, it is a fig, but it's alluding to the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. Because his ark landed at Al-Judi, which is now like somewhere near Turkey. And that area right now is known for a lot of fig trees. So when Allah says wat-teen, it's alluding to the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. Waz-zaytun, Isa alayhi salam comes back to Palestine. And Palestine is known, that's where the best olives is. That's where the best olive is found. So by Allah saying, وَالزَّيْتُونَ, it's alluding to who? Isa alayhi salam. وَطُورِ سِنِينَ, and the mountain of Sinin. Who's with this? Musa alayhi salam. Allah spoke and addressed Musa on that mountain. وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينَ. Who's being alluded to by al-baladil amin? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who else? and Ibrahim, both. So now look at this. How is Allah going to convince you that He created man in the best of fashion? He took an oath by five things or by four things that alluded to Ulul Azmi min al-Rusul, to the five noble prophets. You want to know how Allah created man in best of fashion? Read their history. Read Nuh alayhi salam's history, and Isa alayhi salam, and Musa, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Ibrahim. And you'll find how لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. So in other words, oaths are used in the Quran, and the object that Allah uses, you'll find it very, very connected to the subject that He speaks about. Inshallah ta'ala, we'll save the talk for next week. We'll explore the meanings of وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقَى. We'll speak about the discussion that happens with وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقَى and who is it referring to. And when you read وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقَى وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْطَى وَالسَّابِحَاتِ سَبْحَى فَالسَّابِقَاتِ سَبْقَى فَالْمُدَبِّرَاتِ أَمْرَى, you'll realize that there is no subject. There is no subject. It's removed. You know, just like there we said, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانِ, that's the subject. Here there is no subject. So we'll speak inshallah ta'ala about the rhetorical benefits of removing the subject. But also we'll speak about how the oaths that Allah had taken in the surah, how they, subhanallah, how they connect with the passage, the flowing context of the surah. Amazing, really amazing things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يعني, reveals to us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from people of the Qur'an, to make us of people who reflect upon the lessons and reminders of the Qur'an. إِنَّهُ وَلِيُّ ذَلِكَ وَالْقَادِرُ عَلَيْهِ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.